Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, The Deep Dive, featuring your esteemed hosts, Andy Molitor and Drew Dinzik, powered by BetSperts.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Andy, happy draft day eve. The NFL draft is tomorrow, and as is becoming a yearly tradition, there are big old liquid markets on the eve of the draft with no certainty. And today's adventures in price watching, board watching, rumor mongering were pretty outstanding. And I think we ought to catch up. Like, are there sort of two worlds we live in the top 10 that are starting to come into focus? How many pieces of the puzzle do you think you actually know? What fence posts are actual fence posts, and which ones are, you know, 80-20?
I called it a fence post earlier.
Yeah, it was smart. Yeah, I thought that was pretty smart.
It was like something you can build on. Like, you know, yeah. Anyone who's ever seen a fence, you need the posts first
before you put the. And we got some questions from the outstanding Deep Dive Discord crew who are following this like living and breathing with every rumor tweet, which I love the passion that people
get
have
for this particular event. Sure. I hadn't been in there as much this week.
Finally, like, what did we bet?
What did we bet? I had like not an epiphany, and maybe I just lose all my money. Maybe I just lose all my bets this week, and that's fine because, I mean, it's the draft. I'm taking some swings, but I hadn't been in the Discord much, so I popped in and sent any requests, and there was like nine
great questions.
Really quick, so.
Yeah, great questions.
We'll get through some of those real quick. Top end, 10,000 foot thesis, and I'm sure a lot of people have said this and a lot of people have heard this, and we mentioned this. Maybe I didn't mention it on here. I mentioned it definitely in a chat. Like, I talked to someone who works for a company who recently opened a sports book that is affiliated with said company, old school sports company that used to do, more sports and less 30 for 30s. If you're getting my drift.
Sure.
And I mean, basically between him and two other people now that I've heard this from who've worked at place, like it's basically, you're not getting the information we used to get, because like that short stuff is definitely become frowned upon, especially in the age of, Twitter becoming more of a thing with the draft, just how much the tweets have meant late in draft cycles between the NBA and NFL. But like, it just, the information nozzle has been slowed, and it sucks because like we said, and I wrote this, it's not as if we get to draft day and I've gotten 20 different insider reports and I know like, you know, the first 15 picks in order, but you get to know like which ones are what confidence. And there's a few where it's like, this is very confident. I believe this. And like Drew said, something I referenced him is like, you have that fence post, you can plug that one in. And once you have like three of those, in like some range, then the rest of it starts to fall in easier. It's like getting the edge pieces on a puzzle. Like life's going to be a little easier after doing that. So the fact that we just haven't had anything really besides Caleb has made it extremely difficult. And we're sitting here playing freaking butterfly effect with all the different, like, what if this team, like we're not even sure, you know, the order of quarterbacks 2, 3, and 4.
Sure.
And for all we know, because I mean, let's just say there was a quarterback projected to go in the top 5 and then he didn't even go in the first round. Like, what are the odds of something like that? That happened last year. Like, there is a world, because I just tried to really, really take a step back because we're too in the weeds and my nose is in my phone all day looking at three different chats. Like, there's a world where JJ McCarthy doesn't get drafted in the first round, right? Like these teams could be lying about how much, because basically every evaluator, you know, that has done this for a while is a little colder on
that would fucking quarterbacks. Shock me though. It'd be much more shocking than last year because there's six. This is a quarterback needy. This is a quarterback needy league all of a sudden,
and it is very different than.
I don't know that there's anyone that doesn't at least have a first round grade. I'm great on McCarthy. Certainly not a top three grade on him, but first round at least. And there's so many teams that need a quarterback. It would be surprising if he fell out of one. I agree with your sentiment, and I was ready to go full on tinfoil hat and spit a bunch of conspiracy theories about how they're keeping a lid on all this stuff because people can't keep their mouths shut. Like they just can't. And it's been surprising, but
there are teams that have been better.
I think there's three factors though. We have new regimes at 2 and 3.
Yes.
That makes things tough. Because there's fewer existing connections between those, fewer backs need to be scratched between the media and the regime. Right. And just in general, less is known about who is being honest and lying. Like we had no idea if the Giants were going to be honest about who they were interested in at 5 and 7 or whatever that year that Schoen took over. And, you know, maybe he's being serious. Maybe he's lying. Well, they were lying. Right. You know, so you don't really know like what the kind of identity of a regime is. We don't really know like what the preferences of regime are. How do they deal with age? How do they deal with years of service at college level? How do they divorce performance at the college level with the weapons they had around them? How do they value athleticism versus accuracy versus, you know, like just in general combine, agility score? Like, you know, their new regimes are uncertain. And I think even more like specifically two problems this year with the two new regimes at the top and then with
lack of clear stratification.
But lack of clear stratification where, yes, we think we know who wide receiver one is. We think we do. But teams apparently don't. Like teams apparently don't have all that much separation between 1, 2, and 3. Right. That makes stratification tougher. So where you're like your fence post analogy, like if you had all the quarterback fence posts, I still don't think you can get the top 10 right because you don't know the order of the wide receivers or exactly which teams are even interested in wide receivers, obviously, right now. And so, you know, that the fact that there's kind of just a talent rich draft this year has also made it tough. And then lastly, I think
offensive lineman one was a lot clearer. Well, defensive player one was a lot clearer a few weeks ago before we started to,
There's not clear stratification. Go
ahead, finish your thought before I get into something.
Yes. So there's no clear stratification in any group, which also I think has like kind of de-incentivized teams from rushing to a decision, right? If you're like, fuck, man, we need an offensive tackle. Like if you're the Saints, you're like, man, we need an offensive tackle. And we grade like these 10 guys like pretty damn close. Like, and we're picking 13. Like, well, we don't have to tell anyone what our preference is because who cares? We're just going to see who's there. Take the best guy when we get there. Like there's a lot of best player available within category because of the lack of stratification this year. And then final key point. I particularly think things were slow this year with the new regime at 2. And yeah. I think Washington has taken their sweet ass time to get to final decision on 2.
I believe.
And I don't know that we 100% know it. Yeah. We may not know it. We think we know it. Market thinks it is Jaden Daniels. To the degree that that key piece affects who the Patriots pick at 3, affects who trades into 4, who trades into 5, how far QB4 slides, like these things are all wildly up in the air. Because Washington has taken so long to come to a decision. And, you know, this morning, before things really kind of crystallized, it felt like Washington, you know, kind of had settled on Jaden Daniels, but Daniels hadn't settled on Washington. And it's like, well, that's an interesting wrinkle. Been a while since we had one of these. Eli Manning last time this happened. And like, ultimately, does that change the fact that they're going to pick him at 2? Probably not. But it definitely causes pause in terms of betting something at -750 that should be -5,000, right? And so I think, you know, some of the lack of certainty and some of the kind of no information might be there. Might not be much information to have because it's like at this point, all we really know is that there's a lot of good players and there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks and there's going to be a lot of offensive players and there's not a ton of stratification. So I think that's kind of the world we're living in.
Yeah, that, and just real quick aside, that is maybe my, I'm not really a hot take merchant, because I think I'm just level headed. I don't have those kind of thoughts, those intrusive thoughts. But my hot take is Eli Manning is not a Hall of Famer because of that. That shenanigans. I didn't love the move. Like, what are you gonna do? You gonna do the same thing the Elway then? So a little bit tough. So, real quick.
Let's talk about today's news.
Real quick, I want just a little bit on how we're treating some of these rumors, because like you said, we have new regimes at basically two, three, and five. You have, you know, a team in Minnesota that I don't know if they've been very transparent in the short time we've had Kwesi at the helm in the other one there, the Giants have been a very, very black box as far as since Shane's taken over. We've been, you know, it's been very tough to see what's going on there. So like the uncertainty at the top is tough. And like you said, some of these sources who've been pretty good in the past, it's like, well, they weren't great last year because this team turned over too many, and maybe their source just isn't there. Maybe they don't have the same kind of connections. And that's where I wonder about some of these where, hey, they're saying, I'm not saying the Cardinals think Neighbors is as good as Marvin Harrison Jr., but I've heard other teams say they do. And you got to kind of just think about it. Like, because we've seen this in some of these press conferences where they ask a question that they're clearly not going to get an answer to, and they know, and then they, you know, do the whole get around, and the GM or the coach doesn't actually answer the question because it's not something they're going to answer. That's not information you want out there. Think about this, like, would a team that's way down the board who has no shot at either of them and maybe isn't even in the market for a wide receiver, they're still going to rank their wide receivers in their, you know, in their draft room just in case they start to fall wildly and you see massive value. Like, I guess I could see a team saying that, like, hey, we're drafting 20 something. We're not getting either one of those players. It's not one of our highest needs. And I do have Neighbors higher than MHJ. Like, that's something that I could buy. So like some of those, I think about them and said, you know, this could add some validity, but I mean, for the most part, it does feel like some of these are just coming from, you know, like somebody wants to be the source for something and they're not actually in the know. They just happen to be closer to the team or working for the team. They don't actually, you know, they're not privy to the war room information. So I wonder if some of this shit is just garbage like we have every year, more so than what we get every year. So
there was clearly a massive amount of that with Will Levis last year. Right. Every team wanted to trade ahead of each other to get Will Levis last year. And then he falls out of round one. Like, yeah, pretty clearly, like, there is some of that. No question.
Real quick. And the second point, too, is going back to the Jaden Daniels steam, the JC, you know, the Latham. Are we saying Latham or Latham?
I think it's Latham.
I think we're going to go with Latham. That's how much Alabama football I watch. The Latham steam, the Daniels steam, the, oh, let's even say, you know, some of these defensive players that have started to steam to be first instead of Turner. It feels like it's just us doing it. And when I say us, I don't mean Andy and Drew. I mean everybody who is betting into these markets, because these markets are not, you know, they're going to move on bets.
Low
liquidity. I mean, even Benson has kind of said so over at Circle. Like, these markets are going to move on bets because they're
aggressively auto moving and they're saying,
that's the thing. They're going to aggressively move if they take action. So a lot of the steam just begets more steam.
Action is 500 per pop, not 5,000, not 50,000.
Yeah. So it's not taking huge swings to move some of these things. So like, we're like, oh my God, did you see the Daniels number move? Like, you know, I don't think they're moving on news as if they would, you know, let's say they have some injury news early, like they sometimes will, or, you know, there's one guy who has injury news early in the NBA. He lays down 50 grand on the Raptors because it's going to move 3 points. And, you know, the book moves on that action. It's steam begetting steam. And that's where I think we're going to be awful surprised by some of these Steam moves getting, you know, thrown right back in some people's faces.
I don't know.
That Daniels just leads me to the like
Daniels is different.
Don't lay huge prices. Kind of the, you know, I don't think, because somebody did bring up bridge jumpers. I don't think I'd be bridge jumping anything, including Daniels. I'm very confident that he's likely to go second, but I'm certainly not laying those numbers. And
you think it's more like 80%, not like 95, which is fine. Like if you think it's 80 and it's priced 80, then don't bet it. That's fine. And I'm fine with 80% on that too, but it was different in that it steamed because of a certain sequence of events where lots of draft info people who have gotten stuff wrong in recent years, Adam Schefter looking at you, like we're saying Daniels. And then DJ, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, who's traditionally more right than the other guys, was sticking to May. And there were talent evaluators who were like, clearly it's May is the better player. Like, they, you know, there were pieces of the puzzle that were suggesting it was still kind of split. And then finally, DJ flipped and was like, I talked to enough people that I'm just like, I give up. Like, I capitulate. It's probably Daniels. And then everything that happened in the wake of that is just like everybody kind of agreeing that all whatever source you have around the league with whatever team, it seems to be somewhat consensus. And so I think that's probably why it's priced where it is. And now whether Washington is completely pulling some weird rope-a-dope for reasons that would be very tough to explain, I you know, who knows? But
well, that's right. I don't think any of the info is actually coming from Washington. Anything, even good sources like Jeremiah are saying this is what other teams believe. That's where I don't even know if I'm at 80. I'm probably 70, 30.
Well, he changed his mind. It's his reputation, too. If he thought that they were bullshitting just for fucking who knows what reason, he wouldn't change his mind. He wouldn't change his opinion. He did. And the third, so I guess like I'm not really interested in entertaining a what if that doesn't start with Caleb and Jaden at this point, even though I agree there's still some uncertainty about what Washington ultimately does. And I think the draft effectively starts with at three, and we kind of got to that point about 24 hours ago. And at that time, you know, there was pretty correlated price between Daniels two and May three, because it was kind of seen as a specific tier of two and three. QB two and three were a tier. And once you knew who two was, then you knew who three was. And then whispers of, well, maybe it's JJ. Maybe the Patriots are going to, you know, entertain a trade, right? Like all kinds of weird stuff started bubbling up 24 hours ago. And at first I was like, this sounds like some good old fashioned bullshit. Like it's probably definitely just Drake, like stop overthinking this. And, let's actually figure out, like, is there a market for JJ in the top five? Cause if there's not, there's a pretty decent liquidity pool for his over and under 5.5 a draft position. And it's like, you know, if he's not going three, now all of a sudden he's either going four or five, and both of those would require a trade. So why exactly is this over 50-50? Like, this doesn't make any sense. He's got a long tail to not going in the top five right now if May is third. And as we sit here right now, there is still, like, you know, there's still a decent chance, according to market, that May is going third. And if that happens, again, there's a very narrow window for JJ to get picked in the top five right now. It will require a trade if May goes third. And so for that reason, I'm not really getting this. And, you know, I like kind of went to bed last night thinking, okay, fine, fuck it. Like May might slide. I mean, excuse me, JJ might slide. Like I'm just going to take some over on him there. I had already had, you know, bet a little bit over there. I took more. And it keeps getting bet back. Somebody's very, very sure that he is going top five and they continue to bet it back. And then today there was a price crash once bookmaker finally hung their odds for the day, which weirdly is happening like what, around 10:30 in the morning Pacific time.
It's been weird.
So late. Anyway, it finally opened their odds. They put up the biggest pools, which are pick one, pick two, pick three, and Mr. Irrelevant for whatever reason. And so dumb. And then you know, nothing happens. Nobody bets anything. And two who I would qualify very good information friends of ours come through with JJ is New England's pick for three. Okay. And at this point, like we had kind of talked through well, why would that be? Like, I guess if, you know, what if you like JJ at three, why, you know, if you like JJ over May, why take him at three? Trade that pick. Like, you know, the Giants yeah. want him, like, you know, Vikings want him. Like, you can get a King's ransom, move down. And like, I kind of settled on, well, if you swap with the Giants,
who's to say they aren't listening to that?
Who's to say
they aren't making those calls?
Yeah, they probably are listening. But the problem is, like, even if you just take Giants and you go to six, you know, and if you're making, you know, if you're running the draft room and you have a mandate from the crafts to get a quarterback and you move to six and then Giants take May and you're waiting there expecting to get JJ at six, but the, you know, the Vikings swoop in.
Yeah.
At five with more than you can offer to take JJ at five, then you end up with QB five. And all of a sudden now you look bad. you're like, yeah, crap. Yeah. We thought QB three in the draft was JJ and we traded down and we didn't get him. Right. And so I don't know
if that would be a huge worry, because even sitting at six, you would be able to outbid Minnesota. Just in, you know, looking at trade charts and the rest of what New England has, they should still have more to outbid them. The weird part, and I was with you but against you on this, the JJ price. I think I said it in the chat. I said I have no interest betting this market, but if I did, it would only be one way. And this was before, you know, before the Patriots news. I said it would be over because there's so little runway for him. Especially if, you know, we have a wide receiver and an offensive tackle go early, suddenly it's like, well, there you go. Like, there's five picks. It isn't happening. The other half of that would be where the Giants sit. If they think they can get them at six, you know, similar to the Patriots get them at six, but also the Giants don't have many draft picks. Like, I think they have six draft picks total. They don't have another first, clearly. They have I think they just have like one through six, like what, first, second, third, fourth. Like, they don't have a really big war chest to trade up. Obviously, the sixth pick is more valuable than the 11th, but it gets really thin at that point, too. Like, they'd be more of a trade back candidate if they truly aren't eyeing a quarterback in the first round and they're going to go with Daniel Jones for the foreseeable future because of the lack of their trade or draft pick capital. So it's kind of like, does Minnesota make something happen with either New England, Arizona, or the Chargers? I'm probably putting it at 50-50, but that's really rough. And there's some big confidence bands around there. Like, I'm not super sure what's happening because nobody's talking. And those not only are new regimes, but new regimes plus really quiet regimes. I mean, we didn't really get a whole lot of warning or any sort of indication that Arizona was going to do what they did last year from Austin Fort and crew. See, we don't get much out of Minnesota. We don't get anything out of the Giants. And then the rest of them, like you said, are very new. So it's been a real pain in the dick is what it's been.
Okay. Well, let me just kind of set aside pick one and two for now and tell you that I think we live in a 50-50-ish world where the Patriots take Drake May and or trade down and Drake May goes third, or they stay at three and take JJ. I'm basically weighing the information we got with what the market is telling us. And I think when we got that information, the biggest bets you could make were on JJ to go three and the 5-1 range, which is a big fucking number for something that should be 50-50. Right, the better bunch of it, and then the conditional part of that is, well, if JJ goes third, then you meet, what do you immediately think of? Well, then Drake May is going fourth, right? Because like, there's enough interest in the Vikings and the Giants to just
Arizona get suddenly just gets like
Arizona's like, oh, we just a bag now of money just fell into our lap, cool, and so they take Drake fourth. So I am
Minnesota's
now
has to go get a little bit better at that point.
Right. So myself and maybe, I don't know, a handful of the people were kind of responsible for the price correction offshore on this pretty aggressively. This is like, you're trusting the people who have gotten it right in years past and hoping that their track record carries forward this year. And you don't have any reason to think they're smoke screening you. And I think all of this is relatively plausible. And so if JJ goes third tomorrow, we're going to have a party at my house. And if he doesn't, then we do it again next year and try to hit on the info next year. What? And maybe that's the year. It's right. Yeah.
So let's say you're at 50-50 there. What is your percentage? Let's say it goes, Caleb, Jaden, Drake.
Yeah.
What is your percentage chance that either the Cardinals or the Chargers make some sort of trade with Minnesota, knowing like the Cardinals are a team with a bunch of needs, the Chargers are a team with a bunch of needs. Like, it doesn't not make sense for them to do something if Minnesota did offer, something good. They know it's a premium position. They can charge a little more. So at that point, we're sitting with two picks left to cash the over 5.5. What percentage chance are you having that one of those teams trades and the Vikings or, let's say Sean Payton, say that, the new regime in New England, Las Vegas gets really wild, spills the farm all over.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough.
I think those are very low likelihood things. It's mostly Minnesota.
Yeah. So my answer is for Arizona, it's very low that they trade out of 4 if May is gone. Right. And the reason I 5-10.
Okay.
5%. And the reason is because my understanding is the Giants covet May and don't especially have a high enough rating on JJ to trade up to 4 to go get him. Right.
And that's where I have a disconnect because I don't believe anything.
You don't believe anything. Okay.
I don't believe anything about the Giants.
Well, I guess I've kind of come to the conclusion that Giants and the Vikings are making offers to the Patriots for 3. That's been the reporting. And that makes sense that those teams want May. That's the only reason you would be talking to the Patriots at 3.
Yeah.
Right. And so I don't know that the Giants are willing to give up assets for JJ. I think they would for May. I think the Vikings would give up assets for May for sure, and they might for JJ because the demand is just lower for him. And so they may be able to stand pat and just take JJ at 11, whereas for May, they got to go get him if they want him, and he's available, right? So I think you take the Vikings offer off the table. I think actually, and if you're the Cardinals, you don't want to really go lower than 6. Everybody that was floating Cardinals are going to trade down was then following that up with, and then they trade back up. And you're like,
it's so easy.
Like, come on, that's not fucking happening. Like, no fucking way. But at the same time,
but it's difficult.
Like, realistically, it turns out, as far as I can tell you, that basically just the Cardinals, the Patriots, and the Giants are picking in the wrong order. Right. Yeah. Like the Giants ought to have the 3rd. The Patriots ought to have the 4th. And the Cardinals ought to have the 6th because the Cardinals want one of 2 wide receivers who they have comp graded, which means they ought to be in the 6th spot. Right. And so if those 3 did a little round robin and they gave each other extra shit, then that all probably makes sense. And you see May, JJ, fill in the blank, and then wide receiver to the Cardinals. Like, that would make sense to me. But I just don't think that's very practical. And so I think the most likely partner, most realistic partner for Cardinals at 4 is Giants at 6, and it would be for May. And if that's not an offer, if that's not an available player, then I don't think that realistically happens. I think their trade possibility goes down to 5%. Chargers, I think, are very different. Chargers have eyes for tackle. And guess what? If you pick 11, are you going to get an elite tackle in this draft? Yes. Like, who fucking cares? Like, move to 11. Yeah, you get to tackle and we get another elite first round pick. Hell yes. Like, that seems like an easy, they'll take a discounted offer
with what the Vikings have for Thomas Jr. Like, I mocked that.
You might get both those guys.
My most recent mock was a Vikings trade. And I said, well, let's say it's Alt or Latham. You probably get the other one unless something happens with Bears Jets. Worst case, you're getting OT3, which I believe like the top 3 or 4 are pretty close. And then there's a decent chance you could get Thomas Jr. If not, you could, move back, grab Worthy, AD, any of those guys. Like, you can fix 2 things pretty quickly. So the Chargers should be listening. Real quick, back to the Cardinals too. I think the only feasible
up a good point.
The only feasible trade back and up for them would be if the Cardinals did trade with Minnesota. And at that point, 4 quarterbacks are gone, and you're the Giants. I'd listen to the Cardinals about trading back, letting them get back to 6. If I'm New York at that point, my quarterbacks are gone. I only have six picks the whole draft. If Arizona does want to pull this crazy thing, which they did last year, you know, if they want to do it again, I'm taking some assets off Arizona at that point. I'm moving back and I'm, you know, I'm going to try to grab, you know, a couple of different things I need at that point. Honestly, there's a decent chance, you know, if things go funny, Adunze is on the board. There's a chance Bowers is on the board. You could grab something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's actually kind of an interesting point because Brad brings it up. And I it's not lost to me that they did pull this off last year.
But it's hard. It's hard.
And this is a more like true blue chip talent draft, right? Like this, like last year's draft had 2.5 assumed blue chippers, if you want to count Will Anderson, and maybe, you know, and then a bunch of projects. Like, you know, it was not obvious that once you got to the later part of top 10, you were going to get in a blue chip guy last year. I mean, shit, a running back went 8th for fuck's sake. So like I think the most likely trade partner for the Cardinals is the Giants, and it's for May, if that materializes, which means I think we live in one of two worlds. It goes Caleb, JD, JJ to the Patriots. Giants take May 4. Chargers either take a tackle, take Marvin Harrison Jr. Why Marvin Harrison Jr.'s market is so soft is something that I really do not understand. I would assume that there are people who should be clamoring to trade for the 5 pick to get a wide receiver in of that caliber, but apparently there's not really much of a market. That said, let's assume that the Chargers take either Marvin Harrison Jr. themselves, take a tackle, trade the pick for Marvin. And then Neighbors goes to the Cardinals at 6. I think that's like one world. And I think the other world is Patriots take May 3rd. Cardinals take Marvin 4. The 5th pick is a question mark whether it gets traded to the Vikings. It probably does. And they take JJ 5th. And then 6th is Neighbors to the Giants. And I don't know that there's a lot of other combinations that make sense to me in the top 6.
Yeah. I think I'm willing to entertain one more option, is that you and I actually don't have the correct information on what the Giants like, because they've, and I don't have that as like, oh, you're wrong, Drew. I think, you know, we're fucking all wrong about this, but it is nagging at me how good they've been at just like hiding their hand for the last couple of years. And I think in that scenario,
you're saying that the Cardinals don't trade. So you're saying there's a scenario where JJ goes 3rd and then the Cardinals don't trade 4 to the Giants? Is that what you're saying? Because we're assuming the Giants want May and they don't?
No, the other way is – no, you're assuming that the Giants do not want any part of JJ. That's what I'm saying because of reports, and that's what I'm saying. I'm still entertaining a small chance that those are completely false, and that they're fine with either May or JJ. And that's what I'm saying. That really mucks it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I guess personal bias is part of this too. Like, I kind of can't fucking believe JJ is a top 4 pick.
Well, at the end of the season, it wasn't really talked about. Like, as you know, Michigan kept doing better.
And I kind of can't believe a regime like the Giants is trading assets to 4 to take a guy that doesn't belong in the top 4 when they're already kind of on the ropes, right?
He's a winner. Like,
It's just a stew. It's like you know when you're playing Zelda and Breath of the Wild and you put some monster parts in food. You get dubious food. That's a dubious stew, you know?
I'm not willing to make those comments because I am such a shitty talent evaluator. I don't know, like JJ might be the best.
Anyone? You're any talent evaluator on earth who you respect or disrespect that says JJ's the top one?
Those kids are wrong every year about stuff. They're wrong big about stuff every year. Like if JJ is a better career quarterback than Caleb, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Yeah, no, same.
Like Brock Purdy does what he did. Like sometimes it's about where you land.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. My point is I'm fine with the kind of enough connect the dots between the Giants and May that a trade would happen, and not enough between JJ that a trade won't. So I'm okay living in those two realities. But either way, like for sure. The point of the matter is that I don't think May might, what is May right this moment? -350. McCarthy keeps drifting. He's +275 to go 3rd right now. Like this has just been one way action, just steam coming off the pot ever since kind of noon today. And okay. maybe we're dead wrong. Like, it, this did not seem like a Whispers cloak and dagger shit. This seemed like, nope, this is what's going to happen. And, you know, maybe we'll find out here. We're going to find out tomorrow. I don't really want to wait 24 hours to find out. I'll tell you that fucking much.
Tomorrow's going to be the longest day. I'm going to try to.
Oh, always is. It always is.
To skip school so I can sleep in.
It is. It always is. I'm sure I'll get lots of work done, though. That'll be fun. Okay. So the. No, so the I need to get a lot of work done too, because next week is Derby week, so it's, I'm in a fucking terrible place. Anyway, the ultimate kind of conclusion to this is, it seems likely four quarterbacks are going in the top five in some order. I would put it 50-50 that it, you could put JJ third, Drake four versus Drake three, JJ four. In terms of order of quarterbacks, and whether or not the Cardinals pick third, or if Cardinals pick fourth or sixth, I think depends on whether May is available at four. And I think we have no idea what the Chargers are going to do if they actually make that pick. But I do think it's very clear and transparent that they are being very candid and honest that they want out of five. And I think pick seven is candid and honest. They would take best tackle or trade out. And I think, you can do whatever you want with this information, but apparently there's pretty hefty smoke that the Falcons have just decided we're going to take Turner at eight. That's kind of been a runaway, which leaves us on nine and the Bears. Rome, who knows? Murphy was rumored to go nine. He got steamed to oblivion. He's obviously would be the second defensive player if the Falcons don't trade down. I think the Jets would have eyes for Rome. They may flip-flop with the Falcons, and the Jets pick, you know, Rome eight, you know, Chicago goes defense nine, Falcons take Turner 10. That wouldn't shock me. I think projecting trades is just a fool's errand for betting purposes. So
it's so, so difficult. Like, you know, I felt stupid putting out a mock draft that had three trades in the first round. And then you have someone come out and say there could be as many as 10. And I mean, on average, you do end up with, I think it's like four or five. Like, there are going to be trades. You're going to see a team that just, you know, get to know these front offices. And it's tough. Yes, there's a lot of turnover, but there are guys. And I went down a DaCosta rabbit hole today with the Ravens. I was messaging you about that. They traded back in the first round four of the last 6 years. And God, I ended up in an article where DaCosta had read this. I'm going to say the wrong. It was Cade Massey. If you guys know, you know, he works with Rufus Peabody on the football ratings back in the day. I think they still put them together, possibly. Him and one of the, I can't think of the guy's name. It would have been, you know, one of the heuristics guys. They put out a paper about, you know, value and, like, you know, DaCosta's deep in the weeds on this sort of stuff, where they've said, you know, we have guys and here's how we value every player, and we draft at 30. And if somebody who is, you know, valued as a top 20 pick is there at 30, he basically kind of said, we don't have a fucking need. We're taking that player. We're all about value. He said the draft is a luck-based outcome. And it's like, and I think he just wants a lot of shots at it. And there are people who operate like that. You've seen teams who do this where it's like, hey, here's their top three needs. And, you know, maybe the Eagles are another good example of this with Howie and the gang, where, hey, here's their top three needs, but somebody falls to them and they'll come out and say, like, we just had them really high up on the draft board. Like, there are teams that are going to take that. So the second half of the first round does get awful weird, because, you know, I hate to pigeonhole those guys, but guys who think like that are better GMs. Those teams are better in the long run, I think. And that's why they're drafting in the second half of the first round for the most part. So it can get weird. And that's where I would caution people against bridge jumping too much on the, you know, the heavily juiced prices on, like, over 9.5 offensive linemen and things like that. Those aren't super juicy, but, you know, don't go nuts on that, because we've seen this time and time again where the second half, especially those last 10, 12 picks, they can get kind of wonky. Teams kind of just start doing what they want to do, especially the last five. Those are teams that are, you know, those are great. They have pretty damn good rosters at this point. you know, we call it a luxury pick almost at that point. And one of those teams is the Lions, who did whatever the fuck they wanted last year and obviously came out smelling like roses. So maybe yeah. they're kind of you know, smelling their own farts at this point. Just
okay.
You know, what if the Lions take like a quarterback or something? Who's going to call them out? You're going to have to just lean on last year. They did what they wanted. So that's, I don't know. I don't even know if I was going to somewhere with that. I think it was just like getting in the weeds on how these guys draft. I think it could be a really weird second half of the draft again, because of, you know, Eric Eager brought up a really good point there. He used the word plurality. There was a plurality of teams that need offensive linemen. There's too many teams that need wide receiver. There's too many teams that need cornerback. And at a certain point, if all the corners you like are gone and your next need is like safety, and it's, you're, you know, you're sitting at like the 20th pick, you can't very well take a safety. So you try to trade back maybe, but that shit sometimes just doesn't materialize. And at that point, you turn into best player available, and it kind of throws things off the rails, because best player available might be a position that three out of the four next teams kind of need. And then it throws them for a loop. So that's where I just started betting big numbers on some things that I think could happen.
Okay. So talk to me about another narrow landing spot and a bet that I made a bunch yesterday, and whether you think it's stupid or not. Brock Bowers total sitting at currently 11.5, relatively equal juice. He has one out in the top 11 that I could tell you, and it is the Jets at 10. And everybody in the mock space is just penciling him in because they think Jets win now mode. Brock Bowers, top five talent. Seems like a good fit. Fuck the utility. Guy's not going to, you know, the GM might not even be around for his second contract if they don't win with him. So who cares? That doesn't jive with anything I've heard about the Jets and what they want. And in particular, if four quarterbacks are gone in the top five, which the market is saying is going to happen with the current over-under on JJ, then a good player, potentially a good receiver, definitely a top tackle, is going to be sitting there at 10. That could ultimately be a more valuable pick than Brock Bowers. So why in the world is there all this high confidence that he's going 10?
I think some people have made some really good points about any of the top tackles would be a really good pick if you were in year one of being the GM and the coach and you were looking ahead, because that's really what you need. But when you're in win now, a lot of those, you draft that tackle, that guy's probably not starting. So you just use the top 10 pick and a guy you're not even playing at this point. That throws, you don't need that with the New York media all over that. Like, hey, we could have had, especially Bowers goes off for like 110 yards with, you know, let's say the Colts in week one. Like, that's your job there. You lose your job for that probably, unless the Jets are just winning because they should, because that roster's so good on paper. But there's a decent chance that, like, drafting a tackle, I think, is the right roster move. But, like, a guy might not start right off the bat, and then you get all that shit. I think the other side of that is, like, if Rome Odunze falls, like, that's a no-brainer. You take him over Bowers. I would take a top three, because there is a decent gap between the top three receivers. And, you know, it depends how you feel about, you know, the other LSU receiver. But with the medicals, and we hear this every year and some of it's bullshit, but with the medicals, I think that gap probably widened a little over the last 24 hours. So I think if Odunze is there, yeah. I don't know if taking a defensive player makes a lot of sense. You're stacking on strength, but, you know, if there's a guy that you had no thought would make it that far and you like him, yeah. So I'm kind of 50-50 on Powers, but as far as you taking the over, I mean, who's there at 11 that's going to take him? If it's Minnesota, that doesn't make sense. If it's the Chargers trading back, doesn't make sense. Maybe if it's the Cardinals, but, man, the Cardinals have way more needs than that. If I'm the Cardinals, I'm taking OT3. At that point. So, I mean, like, you're kind of betting, will the Jets do this?
Yeah. And I think that's 50-50.
Yeah, you're getting a good price, I believe.
Yeah, I played it at a bigger plus money, which didn't make sense to me. So
here's a good question from Saul, though. Like over 12 and a half. That's another one, too, where the
Broncos have a lot more needs. That's Broncos more like the you're just holding your breath, hoping they don't trade that pick at that point.
Yeah.
If but again, like trades up for it. I don't get the sense that the market for Bowers is hot at all. Right. Like if he slides past the Jets, where is he going?
Like I said, probably Indy. It doesn't make sense for the Raiders at that point. They have
Indy's like linked to speed, man.
Yeah, Indy might trade back, take a wide receiver, which I think would be a nice move for them. But I mean, there's some teams in there that need tight ends that can move up, and I do think there's going to be some front offices that saw, and I know he's not the same build, it's not the same player. But there's teams that saw what Musgrave, Kraft, Laporta, you know, all those, these, you know, those are Kincaid, I guess, a little Kincaid was the highest drafted, you know, of the bunch. Meyer was kind of the one who everyone thought was going to be, but it was the second and third rounders that did a lot better. But I mean, people see that. I want a Laporta. I want a tight end. And I think some people have them probably a little higher than they should, although I mean, just watch some. I've watched some tape because, you know, you end up watching the good teams, and he's pretty good. So I think somewhere in that 14 to 17 range is kind of where he falls if the Jets don't take him. Like you said, there could be a trade up if somebody has him high. I don't have strong indications of like which teams love him.
No,
but to me,
you have to love a tight end to take him in round one.
You really do. If I'm the Jets, if I'm the Jets coaching staff, if I'm the Jets front office, I kind of know where the, you know, like you have to think, what is the best thing I can do leaving this draft in 3 days when I get on that, you know, the plane leaving Detroit to buy myself more wins this year? Because like if you underperform with this roster, it just hit the bricks, update your resume. So really, like every draft pick can't be thinking about 2025. It really has to be 2024 driven, and that really does change the calculus.
Okay, two other kind of major stories here that I'm following. One is the rise of tackles. This is well covered. Everybody knows this now. This is an elite tackle class. It's a deep tackle class. There are kind of team specific ratings, I think, of 1 through 10 here. I think you ask 5 talent evaluators, they'll tell you a different top 4. I think they'll tell you a different who belongs in the top 8. Like this is a very kind of, you know, pick your poison, your mileage may vary type of tackle, really offensive lineman evaluation. Do you want one that has flexibility to play inside and outside? Do you want one that you know, can play left and right? Or do you want one that's going to be a stalwart at left for 10 years, right? And one thing, and hat tip to Dr. Eric Eager for pointing this out all cycle long, he's done a great job on the content swing, is there's a kind of hidden utility in taking a tackle now in the bottom half of the first round because of what the 5th-year contract is relative to the replacement cost. And yeah, if you're in a safe, comfortable, we're going to keep winning, we're going to keep picking at the end, our offensive line could use a boost, we take a tackle, you are very likely going to have a guy that is hitting his peak as you are paying him less than market. And that is pretty freaking cool. And I think
if he's a left tackle that you can rely on. Tackle,
yeah. And I think because of all of this, there's now expected to be somewhere between 10 and 11 tackles taken, or 10 and 11 offensive linemen taken in the first round of this draft, which is amazing. And from what I can tell you, the major, you know, kind of consequence of that is there's going to be less spots for the wide receiver class, which seems to be floundering. After your top 3, you have medical red flags on Thomas. You have character flags on AD Mitchell.
Yeah,
AD Mitchell. And you have reach on every other guy, right? Every other guy is kind of borderline top 32 big board. Worthy as speed, but what else? You know, size questions about the next slew of guys. Everybody from McConkey,
Troy Franklin, Leggett, like
Franklin,
everyone, yeah, Franklin, Keon McConkey, Coleman, all those like guys,
Jalen Polk, all these guys have warts, and so I think you could end up with 4 or 5 wide receivers in the first round, and I'm pretty heavy into under 6.5, so I'm hopeful.
I think you could end up with more wide receivers taken in the second than the first, because there's such a glut of that second tier. I'd agree with you too, and I think it's going to get really sweaty though, because you're going to get to the last chunk of the draft there, like starting with the Bills, and the Bills are obviously the most wide receiver needy team outside of maybe I'll put them out of the Chargers. They are the most wide receiver needy team in the league. The
Chargers need a.
No, they both need one. Let's assume we're sitting and
I think the Chargers depth chart is worst. I think they're 32nd. I made a joke about the Patriots depth chart being 32nd. Well,
it's better.
I actually think it's better than the Chargers. The Chargers is really, really bad.
They
don't even have flyers.
No, it's rough. But at a certain point, you can't just say, well, we need a wide receiver so bad we're willing to reach on, a character guy or a slow guy or a guy we don't think can get separation. Like there's definitely a move to be made where you take something else you need or trade back and draft. So like I'm with you there, but I think it's going to get real sweaty for under wide receiver guys and over offensive tackle guys, because in the last seven picks, there's like three or four teams that could go either way with those, especially in the last three. There's talk of Washington wanting to trade back into the first round to get a tackle. Obviously that helps, especially if they move on somebody that needs a wide receiver. Obviously that helps both bets. I know that there is a couple teams late in the first round who probably would benefit from trading back just based on their needs. Like, hey, I'm the Bills, I need a safety. If I don't like any of these wide receivers, why wouldn't I go move back, have 3 second round picks and, take a safety, take a wide receiver or two. So it'll get squirrely there, but I think it is going to end up right on 10 is where I've put my median. And some of it is going to depend on where these teams, are with the fringe guys and the interior guys, Jackson Powers.
So you're not into O-lineman over 9.5 minus 200. That doesn't tickle you.
I think it's priced correctly.
Okay. Okay. Chargers, first of all, I was making that face and groaning because our lads finally made you turn off ad blocking to access their site, which sucks because their ads are awful.
I just have the spreadsheet that scrapes 32 of their pages. I never opened our lads.
Will it work? Yeah, it'll work.
I have a Google Sheets with 32 tabs. Yeah, no,
it's still with it. Didn't it? That does it? That has not broken. I need to fix mine then. Right now their wide receiver one is Quentin Johnson, 2 Josh Palmer, 3 Darius Slott is Darius Davis, and then their depth is Simi Fakoko. Never heard of him.
Fakoko.
Quentin
Johnson has upside. Where's the upside in New England?
I think it's Kendrick Bourne,
KJ Osborne. KJ Osborne isn't terrible. Mario Douglas.
Kendrick Schuster. Bourne's not terrible either. They at least have, they have some guys at depth who could hit. I mean, they're not good, but you never know.
I'm putting New England ahead of those two for sure.
Yeah, and then the Buffalo Bills have Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Justin Shorter. Is there their ex? Oh my God. And what's funny about both the Bills and the Chargers is they would both be like unbelievably ideal landing spots for a Brandon Ayuk trade, because Niners would most likely send him to the AFC and send him to a team that can beat the Chiefs, because we can't beat him. Ultimately, neither of those teams can pay him. Bills and Chargers both in a perilous cap situation as far as I can tell. So I have a question.
I wondered if you got any intel on this, because it came up the other day and somebody felt pretty strongly that Harbaugh was kind of calling the shots, but Harbaugh has been out of pro ball for a little while. How do you feel about that front office situation with, how do you say it? Horowitz?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Also, I want to go back and say the paper was Cade Massey and Richard Thaler. Richard Thaler of
Big Short fame. Ortiz.
There we go.
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever the case is,
he's familiar with the family.
Yeah. I think I don't know that we're going to see Brandon Ayuk moved. If he is moved, I don't know where the destination is, but it's going to be sad because the likes of the Bills and the Chargers are going to use late round one picks on players who aren't even in the, don't even, can't even stand in Ayuk's shadow. And it's because they can't figure out a way to pay him. So
the Bengals and the Niners should trade Higgins for Ayuk straight up. We both get our wide receivers.
We're both better off for it. Well, if you didn't want to pay Ayuk, I don't think you want to pay Higgins, but we'll see. Okay. So, let's get to one of the good questions from the Deep Dive Discord, which is, let's talk about some of the conference markets.
Yeah,
there are ACC, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC markets. I think there are two that are fairly well priced and two that are incorrectly priced, and I want your take.
Okay.
I haven't
dug into this yet at all.
Pac-12 is unbettable because it's all about the quarterback, and if you want to bet that, just go bet the quarterback market. That's my opinion.
Yeah, right? It's the same as that, the over 4.5.
That hits or misses because of the quarterback. Pretty much. SEC looks right to me. I don't think that's bettable. Big 10 and Big 12, though, I think are a little weird, and I think the unders might be a little wrong. Big 12 is the one I want to key on right now because under 3.5 is +132, right? And really what you're saying is only one of Worthy or Mitchell gets drafted in the first round. If they both go, then there you're going to have four because I think it's very – Byron Murphy is almost certainly going. And Guyton is probably going. Is there a wild card that I'm missing that makes plus money for under 3.5 unbettable to you?
So Byron Murphy goes.
Byron Murphy, 100%. 100%. He's the only guy. He's the only guy that's 100%.
Just to be clear, they're still counted as Big 10, right? Or 12 because they're not in the SEC.
Yes. I did ask about this somewhere.
Okay. 100% for that. Guyton.
He's the only 100%er. Guyton's probably.
I mean, I'd say 90, 90, 95.
Okay. So
there are people who like other offensive tackles above him. So let's say, you know, we're sitting at 90. 98%, we have two.
Yes.
And then from there, you're right. It is Mitchell. It is Mitchell, Worthy.
And the BYU kid.
A&M is in the SEC now. I keep wanting to look at these Missouri kids, but that's definitely not SEC. A Big 12 team. Zach Frazier. So there is the West Zach Virginia. Frazier question.
You think it's possible that you could have two?
It's another interior offensive lineman. There have been people, there's people that mock him, you know, saying like there's teams that like him. Pretty low probability there. Houston, Patrick Paul, they're in the Big 12, correct?
Houston like is.
They are
yes,
now.
They are. Yes, they are.
I don't see like a Jonathan Brooks or Jatavion Sanders going. You're not taking running back or tight end two. So, yeah, it kind of comes down to those guys, doesn't it? It comes down to the wide receivers. So I would agree with you on that.
Under 3.5? Should we just make a bet for just to have
hold up.
Have some action? Yeah.
What conference is BYU?
The BYU kid is live for sure. But I honestly, what you're saying is like
you have to get him and one of the wide receivers.
Him and one of the wide receivers. And honestly, like that's kind of a juggling act late. I mean, like that's like honestly, you're sitting at 32 and you're hoping that the Chiefs take one of, you know, they can only take one of the BYU kid or, you know, at that point,
truthfully, I think, yeah, I think it's about flipped where it should be +120 to the no.
Okay. I have
+120 to the yes, excuse me.
Yeah. Okay. So I have +132 for under 3.5.
Yeah. If it does go shit, it is going to go shit at like
31, 32.
Just right in a row.
Yeah, that would suck because the other two are probably going to go. But at the same time, like Guyton is late 20s, first of all. And Kingsley, I only have at about 30% to go in round one. Frazier, I only have at 5% to go round one. Worthy and Mitchell, I mean, really, like this is basically saying Mitchell falls out around. This is a bet on Mitchell falling out around one, I think is what it is. Because I think one of the other two guys, Worthy and Kingsley get in, and then Mitchell is sort of your question mark. So you're basically saying I'm going to bet on under 3.5, and I'm going to do it because I think Mitchell falls out around one.
Okay.
Which sounds like he is right now. I mean, his over under is 30, sorry, it's 25 and a half minus 209. So you're running out of teams. If he doesn't go to the Bills at 28, he's not going. Bills a team that you think wants to deal with a troublemaking wide receiver?
They kind of need to nail a wide receiver or take like four swings at it in the middle rounds, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, well, I got some. Let's talk about the Big Ten next. So Big Ten is 5.5, and the under here is juiced to 120. And I think this is another under look.
Yeah, so it's obviously Harrison,
Deshaun,
JJ, and Olushanu 100%.
Yep, 400%.
What do you put Chop and Jerzon at?
I think you're only getting one of those two.
They play different positions. You know, one's interior, one's exterior, but you're also saying like there's only so many teams that need defense. And yes, truthfully, like there's probably only going to be somewhere between 9 and 12 teams that draft defense.
Yeah.
And
market on point, both of these guys is cold right now, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, before that, you're going to have Turner.
Yep.
You're going to have Murphy. You're going to have Leitu. You're going to have
Mitchell.
You're going to have the other, the Alabama corner, Terry and Arnold. You're going to have Verse. You're going to have Cooper DeJean, who counted this, obviously, but still.
Yeah.
So you're already at seven defenders, and you only have room for probably
three,
maybe four more. So
Kool-Aid.
Get both of them. Kool-Aid Wiggins. Darius Robinson is a name that's getting up there with people. I'm not as hot on this as I am the other one, but I'm with you there. Yeah, the other it's Robinson.
Plus money.
Yeah.
Under 5.5. Basically, I think both of those are coin flips and you're getting small plus.
I think money. I'm colder on this one, Drew, because every mock I've done has had Newton going somewhere because there are so many teams that need interior, you know, run stop, interior pressure, especially in the second half. Have you
connected to anyone?
Yeah, I got to go look where he did visits. He's done some visits with teams that make sense. So it's like,
I'm looking at our buddy's sheet right now, and he has been on zero visits.
See, I don't think Newton. I don't think he's kept that completely up to date. Cause I had a couple that I looked up today. Not specifically for Jerzon, but other ones where it's like, hey, this guy visited here. So I gotta get on Luke about that. But Chop.
So on his player team correlation, there's some connections to the Dolphins. That doesn't feel right. There's some connections to the Vikings. That doesn't feel right. There's some connection to the Cardinals. Why doesn't
Minnesota feel maybe wrong?
You think they're taking?
If they don't trade.
You think they're taking IDL at 23?
No. If there'll be
elite corners and edges available.
There might not be corners. There's a decent run of corners that's out there for, you know, certain teams. Hmm. I don't always have corners available in that range. So Minnesota and Miami obviously make sense, but there's a couple other ones. There's plenty of teams that need, you know, a good defensive tackle. And then Chop is a little, it depends how people feel about him. I think he's closer to the edge.
That could be a Chargers taking somebody else weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, well, Rams. Rams is another good. Rams is a good fit for either. I don't know how they have Chop rated. But
everybody that messages me says Pete Schrager says they're taking an offensive player.
I fucking hate that rumor. That's the one I probably hate the most.
The dumbest, yes, I agree.
Of them. And you know what? Like I said, anything can happen. Shit can get weird. But I would be so mad if they finally got a first-round pick and they ended up doing something silly like that. So Chop has met with the Eagles. I don't know. Chop's met with the Rams. Chop's met with the Seahawks. Isn't a bad, but that might be a little early. Cardinals with their second pick, and he has met with the Ravens. I'd have to think about that one a little.
Okay. What do you think of team meetings in general being an indicator other than like, I kind of think it's turned more into an indicator that there's questions or flags about a guy, right? More so than like, we're interested in you. We'd like a second look.
We want to
ask you some questions we didn't ask you when we interviewed you at the combine.
Yeah, there's very much context that's needed for a lot of these because there are guys who don't do certain things at the combine. There are guys who don't go to the combine. There's guys who just, you know, like, hey, I'm trying to decide between this guy and this guy. And Guy A played in the Shrine Bowl. Guy A did everything at the combine. Guy B just did a pro day. I need to bring Guy B in and work him out a little more. So okay. I don't think it's, but I mean, to your point, I think there are guys that definitely applies to. I think it's definitely case by case.
Troy Fautano. Now we know he has a knee. The fact that he had 9 visits from teams that are kind of in that range that would be picking him seems like a red flag, right?
Every 80% of mocks have him going to Seattle. I think that's quickly changing here as we get closer. What was I going to say there? The other podcast I listened to the other day, the Athletic one with the old GMs, Sando and the other Randy and Mike, they brought that up and that hit home really hard too. And again, this doesn't help. This is not actionable advice. This is not going to help you at all, but it needs to be said as far as, you know, managing your expectations and managing your bankroll is every team has a ton more information about injury and character issues than ever gets out into the public. So those are the two things that always stay closest to the chest. And think about that. How many times have you seen that, you know, next week where a team is doing press conferences and they say, you know, hey, are you excited about, you know, getting this guy? And why didn't we take a wide receiver? It's like, you know, we had some concerns in the medicals. Like, it's always after the draft. So it sucks. I do take medical stuff seriously when there are whispers of it, because if there's a whisper of it, it feels like it's usually worse. I don't know. And it sucks because there's going to be a bunch of this stuff we don't know about. So kind of keep your ear to the ground. If you're seeing a guy dropping for no reason, start digging in. Like I've ended up on Reddit, man, trying to find some stuff on some of these guys. Like, why is this guy dropping for no reason? Is there something? Is there medicals? Is there issues? I found, especially in these markets that aren't. So when you talk about like the tight end market, the safety market, the running back market, the second tight end market, excuse me, like you're talking about a bunch of guys that just aren't getting a lot of buzz on the big shows. They're not getting talked about in podcasts because nobody gives a shit about the guy that's projected to be tight end 5, the linebacker 4. But when you start digging in on that, it's like, oh shit, there's some guys that are, this is linebacker 2. This is tight end 1. You know, these guys have medicals. Like, what are we doing with these markets? So if you get bored and you want to not do anything all day tomorrow and put a few more bets in, go just start digging in on one of those, because there's a ton of stuff that's just not getting talked about for the most part. I made long shot bets in all those markets based on just kind of where I've seen some of these guys ranked. And it's like, why is he 5th favorite when, you know, quite a few people like him, and the second one has a medical, the third one has like a character flaw that people have already brought up. And, you know, this other guy's like 15-1 to be the second tight end or something like that. So that's a fun one for sure. If you want to see what I can't remember everything because I went and placed like 18 bets on shit like that over the last 2 days. It's in the newsletter.
Okay. Did you just say you don't want to talk about day 2 bets?
No, I do.
Oh, because I'm looking. I was looking through the questions, and that one was the one I was going to literally ask you next, which is like, what are some of the day 2 things you think are worth following? Track. What do you
track? All right, I pulled it up. So I did. I did look at like first linebacker taken because that's one of those like the Peyton Wilson. Like Peyton Wilson has a huge medical red flag. And then Cooper is the one that's the market I was talking about. Cooper has some possible character issues, and between them and Colson, that's kind of your chalk. So unless you really believe a team's big on Colson, I think you can take some shots down the board at, you know, first linebacker taken. I played Wallace, Gray, and Jeremiah Trotter was 50-1. There's some teams that have him as like second or third best linebacker. And by teams, I mean evaluating teams who are looking at this stuff. Who knows what the actual NFL teams was? I will just lean on the fact that we do this every year with positions that aren't. I mean, we're going to have this with offensive line at the top of the draft this year, but think about positions that aren't as valuable. Think about last year's tight ends. Everybody liked Washington. Washington was like the pretty solid third behind Kincaid and Meyer. He was, I think, the 8th tight end off the board. You know, teams came up and got other tight ends, Laporta, Musgrave, all these other guys went first.
I remember it
well. These markets that don't get the buzz, I don't think they're priced very well. And well, granted,
you know,
I could lose.
You know why you're
I could lose every one of these bets to the chalk.
The biggest limits available for the second tight end market doesn't even have your guy, because or they spelled your guy's name wrong, and so it's like, do you bet it?
It's been tough.
I don't know. Like I'm not even joking. Like I want to bet this, but I kind of I'm like not.
They gave him the wrong last name.
They got him wrong. Yeah, was it
Jaheim? Well, that's Bell? That was first.
Is it Bell? No, this is second tight end drafted. He's 55-1 right now. When and they'll take big.
Yeah, I was talking linebacker.
Two win 1500.
Yeah, Jaheim Bell was 30 at DraftKings.
They spelled his name Jaheim Wiley.
Legal.
They spelled his name Jaheim Wiley, which is the last name of another player. The last name of another guy, which is why I'm hesitant to pull the trigger on this. Jared Wiley is 11-1. Jaheim Bell, who's presumably listed Jaheim Wiley, is 55-1.
Let's see if he changed his name between now and then. But yeah, it's the same thing. Like first linebacker, second tight end, first safety. And then, I mean, some other ones I looked at that are kind of in the same vein are first Houston Texans draft player because of how far back they draft.
Sure.
Maybe the Carolina Panthers one isn't as fun or isn't as wild because it's basically a first round pick. It's close enough to the top, and they really probably do end up taking a shot at one of those second tier wide receivers because they're in a spot where they can miss a little bit more. It's early in the regime change there. Mm-hmm. But like the Houston Texans first player, I looked at the Vikings because it's basically being priced like the Vikings make this trade. And what if they don't make this trade? I really don't believe Kwesi's taking one of the Big 12 guys at 11.
No.
What if they move back, Andy? They have two first-round picks. Like, if they move back to the second round to grab Penix or Nix, they still have to draft at 23rd.
Let me float corner
at 10-1 for them.
Let me float this with you. Vikings plan B, if the top four picks are quarterbacks and one of them is not the Vikings.
Yeah.
How do you like this for plan B? You go get Dak next year.
Yeah, I think the plan quickly because it's not like you're going to go get Spencer Rattler late in the, and it's just going to work out. Like he's like really low rent.
You go to work with Sam Darnold and then you bring in Dak next year.
Yeah. No, I think the plan, if I miss on that trade and I'm drafting 11th and 23rd, it is defense.
Oh.
Because I have an offensive line. I have wide receivers. I don't give a shit about a running back this year.
Edge and corner. You take an elite edge and a corner, right?
I think, yeah, if the best corner you like is there at 11, you take him. If he's not, the best edge is falling to you, you go there, and then you take the other spot or D-tackle at 23. That's what I bet.
Let me pitch you on an insane price. You tell me if this checks out. High liquidity group. Okay, so yeah, when we were sitting there watching the screen this morning, waiting for any info on pick three.
Oh God.
Right?
What? Yeah.
What are you doing?
No, just watching the screen today.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was ridiculous. But
in general,
there was no activity at all in picks 1 through 5. Nobody really cared. They added some more stuff. Nobody really bet it. Where the action was happening was all in the first defensive player market, where there was plenty of disagreement that it was going to be Turner or Byron Murphy, or some people thought Latu, although I think that ship has sailed. And then ultimately the bettors who were staking Turner won. They won the fight. And Turner is now the heavy favorite there, right? Like if you had to guess how, they probably have something staked like, I don't know, 20K or something like that to win. I don't know. Or they probably have 40K to win 20, something along the lines, based on how many times I saw it move. There's only a couple of groups that are trying to get that kind of action down in the draft markets. You ask around and find one that's very reputable, who you believe everything they tell you, and they're the ones doing it, and they think that Turner is now sort of the, you know, plan A for Atlanta. Okay. You can bet a little bit of Turner to go 8th at like plus 200. That's not that sexy though. Right. But if you think we live in a world where potentially Rome Odunze is available at 8 and the Jets would be willing to flip-flop 8-10, how do you feel about Turner going 10th at 26-1. That's worth a flyer, right? We're talking about $38 to win a thousand. Hit that a couple times.
It makes I'm trying to think what the Jets would have to give up. That's only a couple hundred not points in draft difference. Like swap a third for a fifth, third for a fourth, if that.
From what I understand, Rome is the number one realistic player within their range that they are that they have.
Yeah. No, it just makes so much sense. I don't hate that's a big number. That's probably good down to like 20, isn't it?
Right. It'll get cut in half as soon as I click it. I'm just curious. The corollary of that is you can also bet Rome to go eighth, which is fun because right now nobody's tracking that because it's Atlanta taking defense at eight, right? That one is what's the number there? At plus 450. Not as cool. Not as fun.
No.
If they end up taking Turner, somebody's sniping me. It's down to 22-1. I guess I just got to place it now. Okay. Well, it's on the move.
You had to bet it before you talk about
it. 10th overall pick market. I'm also going to play a little Rome in there at like 9-1-ish just because if they land, what do you call it?
Rome, if you want to.
Yeah. If they land, oh, look at that. The Naz Reid money hit some of the accounts. How fun.
Oh no, the Maple Leafs are losing. Shit's funny to me. Who do I got to look at who I have to cheer against. Every year I cheer for America to win the Stanley Cup. So Vancouver's in it, the Leafs. Are the Oilers in the playoffs? This is how much I bet.
Oh, I got a cup. Oh, I forgot I bet some of this shit. I'm like looking at my account balance. I'm like, oh no, they're not voiding shit, right? I'm seeing stuff graded that I totally forgot I bet. Oh, I love this.
Should we talk about that tweet I sent this morning to you? The guy who he tweeted at like Bet Online because he bet, was it Drew Holiday? He bet Drew Holiday to win Sixth Man of the Year. And he tweeted at them asking like, hey, should basically like implying.
How are they going to grade this? How are you guys going to grade
this? How are they going to grade this? I think, and the implication was that.
Are you going to void this for me?
It should be voided because he started all 69 games. Well, he shouldn't be. You shouldn't even look at this ticket then. He can't win Sixth Man of the Year from the starting lineup.
There's no qualifier for the Sixth Man of the Year. Must take court as the sixth man. That's not a qualifier for that market. Sorry. All runners
are graded.
Yes, always. Yes, all runners are action. Okay. I think the Celtics might...
Celtics are losing pretty, too. I didn't want to bring that up.
The Celtics have the chance to do the funniest thing, Andy. They could lose to the Heat without Jimmy Butler. That's 15.
I mean, they could even just losing Lord one game Lord. Is kind of a rough look.
This is at home, embarrassing. I gotta say,
burn the parquet floor.
Parentheses, not great. And that is making it maybe more important to me that Mr. JJ McCarthy goes to Boston third tomorrow.
Did you bet sweep?
I did not. The price was not quite right. I think we talked about this. My price for sweep was was minus 115 ish, and it was like plus 110. It wasn't moving the needle for me. Gotcha. All right. Final draft thoughts. Anything you want to say before we move on? You just give me your gut mock. Give me your gut mock top 10. No, like literally as fast as you can get them out. Go.
It is Caleb. It is Jaden. It is Drake. It is MJH to the Cardinals. It is the Vikings trading in and taking JJ. It is Neighbors to the Giants. It is Joe Alt to the Texans. It is Titans. The Titans, excuse me. I always mix up Titans and Texans. Houston used to be. It is the the Falcons staying put and drafting Talis Turner at 9. It is Roma Dunze, and then the Jets probably just take fucking Bowers. It's Bowers, or, you know, for your sake, because you bet the over, I say the Jets take an offensive tackle with the thought of putting him inside a guard.
OT2.
Yeah, OT. And because it's kind of the best of both worlds. You can say, hey, he has shorter arms than we like. You can say whatever the fuck you want. We're going to start him at starting guard. So we drafted a starter. And then in 2 years, he's your left tackle.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes everybody feel a little better. Well, who do I want for the Vikings? Caleb, I suppose, would be fun. I'm kind of in. They're in a weird spot because they're.
You kind of want to see what they can do with Darnold.
They're in win now, aren't they? Because of where they're sitting. And
do you think?
I think their defense could take a big step forward if they, because they. I thought they made some nice moves in free agency for the pass rush. If they can get a cornerback that hits like Spoon, hits like Sauce, if they find somebody like that, let's say they don't do a quarterback, if they find a, you know, day one hit at corner and they add to the pass rush as well, and they find a couple other, you know, diamonds in the rough here or there on defense, Flores did something with some pretty shitty players last year. So it could be a pretty good defense where maybe KOC takes the Shanahan experience, dials it down a little, be like, well, you're no Brock Purdy, Darnold, but look at the players we have around you. You have two really good tackles. Like, can you please manage this offense to like 12 wins?
I love it. Okay. Question for you about the Vikings real quick, and then I'll give you my nuclear fast gut mock top 10. If they don't get a quarterback in this draft, mm-hmm. which is entirely plausible, and they go to war with Sam Darnold, does that put strain on the relationship with Jefferson for signing him long-term?
Probably, unless they tell them, like, we're fixing this next year, because, I mean, just our hands were tied. We couldn't get anything, you know? Yeah. Look what's out there.
We went and made another trade for a first round pick. We gave every offer. Like, we just couldn't
get it. We tried everything. We're going to go get Dak. We're going to go get, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, maybe the Chargers are going to have to blow it up at that point if they fuck this up this year. Like, Herbert could move in the next couple of years, because they might have to blow that up at that point. And it sucks because you never want to trade what could be a franchise quarterback. Jesus. All right, let me rip the rest. So what did we do it? Who was my 10th pick? Who is the offensive tackle with alt off the board if I'm going the Jets?
If you want somebody with versatility, we heard they like Mims, but Fuaga has the most versatility probably.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll go Fuaga at 10. So then the Vikings.
Celtics really are going to lose. These fucking clowns.
So then your Vikings are drafting there. The Vikings would go.
Oh, my God.
Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite edge rusher at that point? Is it first? Or do the Vikings go corner?
First, sure.
Vikings go Terry and Arnold. The Broncos.
Well, no, you left. No. You left Byron Murphy on the board. He can go.
Okay, Byron Murphy goes to the Vikings.
He's definitely going 11.
And then at that point,
if he's there,
at that point, we would have, you know, the Broncos could probably take a corner. They would take Terry and Arnold. The Raiders. I put Penix in my mock. Let's take a timeout. What's your odds on the Raiders to do that? Do something silly like taking Penix in the first. I'm like 40-60. They do now.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool on it. Less than 50-50.
I could just see them taking the other cornerback, and then you have the Toledo kids off the board. And at that point, you're sitting at 14. Is the Saints, you go the next best offensive lineman. Maybe it's Fashanu off the board. And you're 15 with the Colts, and that's probably a Bowers landing spot because, yeah, they want speed, but like there's a ton of upside and you're really young. You have a really young nucleus. Everyone wants the Seahawks to take an offensive lineman, but that at point two, you could go Latu. You could go Verse. Like, let's just go Verse there. This is hard to do in your head, keeping track of who's left. 17's everyone's projecting a corner, but what do the Jaguars do at that point? That's where it gets squirrely. Like, How high do you think this third corner goes? I think that's a good question for a lot of people to explore tomorrow, because like, how high does Wiggins go? How high does DeJean go? Let's go, you know, DeJean there. After that, it's the Bengals, whatever, Fatanu, another offensive lineman. LA goes defense, whatever's left, Latu, Zerzan, Chop, something on the line up front. And then my other question I didn't ask you yet, is it just like the fifth straight year we know exactly what the Steelers are going to do?
I think so.
We kind of just seem like it's going to be offensive line pretty, unless there's a wide receiver that they really love. It's just like Barton is almost in pen for some people, some people there as well. And then from there, it's not worth mocking. Who knows what happens? I think Dolphins take defense. I think the Eagles are a sneaky team that takes whoever, despite how many people think they're going to take corner. The Vikings, if they have their second pick there, should take defense. It's very chalky, but, man, Green Bay and Dallas should take offensive line, depending what's left there. That's just such a high need for both of those teams. Tampa, what's your opinion on? What's their biggest need? Because they're in a weird spot.
Probably O-line. O-line or edge.
Trenches. Yeah, but what if three O-linemen go in the four picks before them?
Tough shit.
You can take a corner. You can take a defensive lineman. Cardinals can take whatever they want. They have a lot to do. Bills are wide receiver, but that's a reach. Lions are a wild card. Ravens are a wild card. May trade back. Honestly, the last four teams should probably all trade back. The Niners are a wild card, but that's a really strong offensive line indicator there. And then Chiefs, O-line or wide receiver? And I know you're biased, but what do you actually think?
Corner. They're replacing Legarius Sneed.
Don't hate it. I think I've mocked all three positions to them. It's so hard to pick what 32 is doing. Be a pain in the ass if they take like a running back again. Yeah, Boston's gonna lose. What the fuck?
They're gonna
lose. I haven't even looked at the box.
All right, so here's I can't believe these guys. All right, I'm gonna give you my top 10. This is
Porzingis has 6 points.
Hey, this is wish casting. This is wish casting. This does the most for me financially. Caleb, mm-hmm. Daniels. JJ, Giants trade to 4, take May.
Okay.
Bears trade to 5, take Harrison.
Oh, God, the Bears. Bears fans would come.
They're Caleb trying to get Harrison. Dude, the NFL orchestrated all this to get that new stadium pushed through with public money.
I love how fucking sour those people are in Chicago. Where am I going to park?
Cardinals, after trading down to 6, take Neighbors.
Okay.
The Titans take Alt.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets trade up to take Rome, 8. The Chargers at 9 take Latham.
Oh, I like that. So
the Falcons at 10 take Turner. The Vikings at 11 get Byron Murphy, and then who cares about the rest?
Yeah, the Broncos are a fucked organization anyway.
Yeah, they need everything.
Do you know that GIF where the farmer rescues the sheep from the little ravine, and the sheep runs and then falls right into the same ravine like 30 yards down?
Oh, yes. When you look at where their picks are dedicated to this year and why, it is like, wow.
My brother-in-law, he lives in Denver. He's a Broncos fan. He sent me that GIF with something about their quarterback situation. He's pretty pumped that they're signing – you know, that they're signing Zach Wilson at this point. I think Zach starts there. He's probably better than Stidham. I saw flashes of not terrible Zach last year. It's just, it's a weird situation all around. Any final thoughts? I'll tweet stuff tomorrow. I'll be in the Discord more tomorrow.
Boy.
Tomorrow's going to be a struggle to get shit done, and I have some writing to do.
No, no.
At least I don't have to watch golf. It's the team event.
I guess at this point, the die is cast for me. I don't think there's realistically any more information that's going to convince me more strongly than what I already have that it's just going to get to JJ third to the Pats. But I guess I should also qualify. The note we got was the Pats are going to take JJ. It was not that they're going to take him in third. And I am a little kind of like, it's weird that there was no qualifier that they've settled on. They're sticking and picking. No one has said stick and pick JJ. So I don't know. You don't think that matters?
I could see it. If they're getting the general feeling that teams are lower on JJ than the market, then, and they like him more than May, you could squeeze the Giants for something pretty good, I'd think. But okay. Again, we said you could get cucked by Minnesota trading up cucked. In front of you there.
Right. And then I don't get the sense. Two things real quick. I don't get the sense that things are warm and fuzzy in New England right now.
Well, should you start with quarterback ever when you build?
Not really.
That's the other thing. So they're so far away from being a good team right now. I don't like building to start at quarterback. So if you're getting the fourth best quarterback, trade back, figure it out, get a first pick next year. And I know everyone's like, oh, the quarterback class doesn't look as good next year. It never does at this point. We were excited about Caleb last year, but some of these other guys, I don't know how we felt. Although I watched the Penn State spring game. Remember when I talked about that guy's Heisman candidate? That guy's not a Heisman candidate. He looked pretty fucking terrible. It was like a low light clip I got to see. Pat should trade back and fix a thousand other things and draft a quarterback in 2 years.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't seem like things are warm and fuzzy, which is to say that replacing Belichick and trying to operate that franchise in his shadow, I think is going to fail. I think all of those guys are going to be gone pretty short order. I don't get the sense that that's going to go the way the Crafts think, and Patriots kind of being the next, I don't know, Jerry Jones-esque, run Cowboys, for the next phase of their existence. Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Did you see that clip? That's my last thing. That clip where I don't even know who it was. They said the Cowboys should take Penix at 24.
Who seems bad. That
it was one of those hot take shows. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion on that.
One last question. Pricing. All right, let's just assume two sweeps. Pricing Nuggets Timberwolves in the conference semifinals.
Great question, Andy.
Nuggets minus one.
I love this type of second round pricing because we know exactly what the rotation is going to be now. There's no guessing on which players, how many minutes, shit.
I'm guessing Nuggets 150.
It's probably going to be a little bigger than that. Let me see.
Oh, they're two, aren't they? They would have home.
Yeah.
Okay, 170.
I have, and I got to fix. I got to fix a broken equation here.
Uh-oh. Jonathan Kraft is going to fuck this up. I mean, this is of all the uncertainties we've gotten so far on the draft. Landed on one certain thing.
What, that Kraft is going to dink it?
I don't like it when the owner's involved.
No, I don't either. Okay.
I like it when the owner's wife is involved and they pick the right quarterback. Congrats, Houston. It's funny. We don't even get to talk about Houston much because they just, they don't have draft picks.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
I will say real quick while he's finishing this, that was when I said I took Houston first drafted player to be a running back. They don't have – I don't love what they have behind Mixon. I'm not even sure I love Mixon at this point in his career. So, they could be drafting, moving back again. They might be drafting back half of the second round.
Yeah.
So, running
back. You're pretty damn close, by the way. I got Denver minus 160. I don't think the market's going to hang that 220. That's going to be a bet on Minnesota and hold on to your hats, hold on to your butts. win a game in Denver.
Fast forward to the last 5 minutes of every one of those games, all six.
They're going
to
be every Wolfson one of six. Them is going to be insane. Every one of them is going to be insane.
I'm going to. So I mentioned this, that in the chat. I was.
The Timberwolves have better. They have better end game defense than the Lakers by a margin. So the likelihood of the Timberwolves, kind of fumbling the bag late, like the Lakers is probably.
I wish I would have said this when we did the NBA chat or the NBA talk. I had an NBA take like a day later, and that was, and I don't know, maybe you smart NBA people have said this, is like, if that's Minnesota's just regular, old regular season 82 game defense, like how high can they crank that up in the playoffs when they need to? Can this be like one of the best defenses we've seen in the last couple decades? If they really turn it to 11, like, is it going to be just like a really ugly game? And they end up, in the finals, at least in the conference finals, because of, a second level they're able to take that to. So that'll be interesting. And then I did mention too that fucking it's like 2:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday, and then like a Tuesday night game, because I wanted to go to a game. Those are not great times for Andy to get to a basketball game. So I'm glad that they won those. And, worst case, they drop games in Phoenix and I can go to a different one. But my God, they need to get to the second round against the Nuggets and maybe get like a Friday night 7 p.m. game so I can drive up to the cities.
That'd be good. That'd be cool.
I'm pumped to see Joker. So, all right, let's call it night.
Let's hit the music and call this one.
I like my Wolves take it to 11 theory, though.
They do. They take it past it. They'll take you to the edge, Andy. They'll take you past it.
Remember that Jaguars fans? So you take it to the limit. It's in my beach house in Miami. Well, not on the beach, but... Can't let a newcomer come in and steal the show. Toronto's losing.